BBC Radio Solent. Sport.
Solent Non-League Football. A podcast from BBC Radio Solent.
Hello and welcome to the Non-League podcast brought to you by BBC Radio Solent. A lot to get through this week. We had reporters in the National League South, in the Division 1 West and in the Division 1 East as well. So before we go anywhere, we have to start in the National League though, where Paul McCallum's hat-trick was not quite enough for Eastleigh, who had to settle for a draw at home against Bromley in a breathtaking encounter.
Bromley have also got it inside Eastleigh's box on a couple of occasions. Zabrowski heads on now though. McCallum's onside, finishes, yes, goal! McCallum scores, he's off the mark. Eastleigh are as well. 10 minutes in and Paul McCallum, as cool as you like, beat the offside trap, through ball from Zabrowski, and the Spitfires lead Bromley by 1-0. The ball in towards the near post, headed across to Zabrowski, shot comes in! Eastleigh have scored again! McCallum with his second. Where you wait all season for McCallum's goals to come along, and two come along at once, and Eastleigh are 2-0 up after just 19 minutes. And the Spitfires' brilliant record against Bromley looks like continuing. Eastleigh 2, Bromley 0. It's a free kick in towards Rees, heads it towards goal, and it ends up in the back of the net. And Bromley have scored. It was a deep ball in from the far right-hand side. Rees headed in, and Bromley have got a goal back. And now again, once again, the Spitfires were 2-0 up, and now it's not quite so comfortable. Eastleigh 2, Bromley 1. Rees halfway inside Bromley's half, just curls it out wide, and he beats his man, is into the penalty area, could score here, tries to beat his man again, shoots with the left foot, it's in, Bromley have scored. Brett Williams, a substitute, and it was terrible defending from Eastleigh, and Bromley have bought it back, and once again the Spitfires have given away a 2-0 lead. It's 2-2. And now Dennis could be one-on-one with the keeper, but again he turns his man and he tries to turn, left edge of the penalty area, curled it with the left foot, it's in, Bromley have pulled it right back. And it was a brilliant finish from Dennis. And Bromley have produced an unbelievable comeback against Eastleigh. They were 2-0 down, and now they lead 3-2. And it's the best goal of the afternoon so far. Eastleigh could score here from a corner. Six wait for it inside the penalty area. Chipped in, headed on, up towards McCallum, heads in! Eastleigh do score from a corner, and McCallum gets the match ball. Three goals for him, and it is now a six-goal thriller. And it becomes evenly poised now. Eastleigh 3, Bromley 3. Played out left. Again, it's picked up from Dennis. He's going to cut inside. Oh, this has got extra space here. He could score. Shoots at his right foot. He does! Bromley have scored with 4 minutes left to play. And Bromley, for the second time this afternoon, have taken the lead. 7 goals in this one, 4 for Bromley. It's Eastleigh 3, Bromley 4. And McAllister heads on, only half away. Matthews shoots with his right foot. Oh, it's in! What a goal from Sam Matthews! It's 4-4. And Matthews has scored an absolute peach. 2 minutes left to play, and we could still have some late drama. Eastleigh 4, Bromley 4. And Sam Matthews from absolutely nowhere.
Ian Wilding with the commentary there. It was a superb hat-trick and also a brilliant strike from Sam Matthews, the man on loan from Bournemouth. Eastleigh normally do put the goals up on Twitter on their page at Eastleigh FC. So go online if you want to see that strike. It really was brilliant. The point doesn't really do much for Eastleigh. They stay 18th on 26 points. They're still 5 points away from the drop zone. Chester on 21 points, occupying the final relegation place. So let's hear from Richard Hill, the Eastleigh manager, and also from the hat-trick hero, Paul McCallum. First up, here's Hill speaking to Ian Wilding after the 4-4 draw.
Richard, quite an incredible game. What on earth's going through your mind last 10 minutes of that match?
Well, you know, there's times I've been accused of not entertaining. Well, there's always football matches where that are not entertaining, but the people were looking at the score and a win, and others want to. Today we've entertained the people that want to be entertained. You know, both teams. Don't get me wrong, both teams. And I think you've seen today a game of two teams that need to defend better, and most definitely my team need to defend better. Most definitely, you know, from our point of view, we've gifted four goals today, you know, and we can't do that, you know, without to score four goals to draw a football match at home. So, but then again, I suppose, you know, Neil Smith will be turning around saying, how can we not win a game of football when we score four goals away from home?
Yeah, are you sort of in a pretty decent position though, weren't you, a 2-0? I mean, you must be wondering what's happened now. You've managed to not win the game again from a very comfortable position.
Yeah, we're in a good position, tidy position. I mean, Brett's come on and changed the game to a certain degree. But then give us a bit of credit for fighting back twice. Give us a bit of credit for that. But it's just been one of them crazy, crazy games today, isn't it, that you sort of get two or three times a season.
Paul McCallum, though, he scored one and now he's gone and got three as well. You must be delighted with his performance tonight.
Yeah, he's, you know, we knew about Paul McCallum. We knew from the start of the season. And, you know, Andy Essenthaler went quite big on him in the summer, saying, you know, he'll score goals. But he's had an indifferent start, hasn't he, due to his injury, you know. It weren't a nice injury, you know. We've been desperate to get him fit. And then any players that have been out for a period of time tend to always pick up something else, you know. And I think today you've seen what Paul McCallum can do. But we know what he can do, you know. Like I say, Essie went really big on him in the summer. He'll score goals. He'll score goals. He needs a run of games. He needs to get fitter. You know, we've had to take him off there at the end to try and do something, you know, because it weren't that he was becoming ineffective, it's just that he'd just lost his bit of power and you know. And likewise with Sam Wood. You know, Woods has been out for a while. He's done great coming back in today, but he's started cramping up. So we've had to take him off the pitch. You know, simple as that. We've had to take him off the pitch.
So, Paul, must be mixed reaction for you. I mean, what a crazy afternoon that was today.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, I've obviously scored the three goals and then we ended up drawing the game. And that was... and that's frustrating, you know. So, I'm happy with my performance and the three goals, but I'm very disappointed that we ended up drawing the game.
Yeah, it's one of those, isn't it, where, you know, you took your goals really well. How much of a factor could that be for confidence now going forward?
Yeah, it's, you know, I know I can score goals, and it's been very frustrating for me because I haven't managed to find the back of the net yet, you know. And obviously today I got three, so I never doubt myself about scoring goals. I know I can score goals, and today I showed if I get a chance, I'll take it.
Yeah. How much a relief for you was it when that first goal went in though for you early on?
Yeah, I couldn't believe the amount of space that I had, you know, and ended up taking it a bit early, and luckily the keeper couldn't get there. So it was a relief to get the first one, and then it just felt like chances were coming my way, and unfortunately I taken them.
And what's the feeling like in the dressing room? Because you were 2-0 up in a good position, but you've also pegged them back twice as well.
Yeah, well, everyone's frustrated because that's a game we feel we should be winning, you know. And we at 2-0 up, we become a bit sloppy and we stopped doing what we was doing. And then ended up letting them go 3-2 up, which was very frustrating. And we know we need to stop that because we're a team that should be up there. And at the moment, we're not. And it's mistakes like that are costing us. And I believe that we'll eradicate them and we'll be all right.
Yeah. How... That's probably off now. I forgot what I was going to say. Yes, we've got Ebbsfleet next week as well in the FA Trophy, yeah, as well. So nice distraction for you in a way, the fact that it's not in the league.
I think we want to be playing league games and right the wrongs that's been going on, you know. But obviously that's a week away from the league. We can focus on trying to get through to the next round of that, and then we come back to the league.
Yeah. And then when you look at the fact that Sam Matthews scored late on in the game as well to make it 4-4, how important could that goal be as well psychologically?
I think, you know, it would have been very hard on us because obviously being up 2-0 and then potentially losing the game, it would have been harsh on us, I think, because I think we played well, and I think we played well enough to win the game.
Yeah. And that partnership with Chris Zabrowski up front, how do you think that's developing?
It's working well. You know, Zebs is a very unselfish runner. You know, he he works very hard for the team, and you know that makes opportunities for me. And like today, he slipped one through to me, and I've scored it. And I feel if as long as we keep playing together, it'll be all right.
Yeah. And just one more, how important do you think that festive period could be? Because you've got four or five games coming up, haven't you, in a short space of time?
Yeah, I think this is the most important time in the league, because obviously if you've got a lot of games coming up thick and fast, and you know if we get a lot of results in that, we'll be all right.
BBC Radio Solent Sport.
Non-league football.
You're listening to the Non-League podcast brought to you by BBC Radio Solent. Now time to speak to our non-league reporter Cliff Pledge. He made a trip to Hartley Whitney against Moneyfields, a big Hampshire derby in the Southern League East. Now, Cliff, the history books on this fixture, they're a bit unclear, aren't they? We believe that these two met around about 30 years ago.
But nobody could quite remember the fixture. But I don't think the home fans will forget this one. It's Moneyfields' biggest defeat of the season, their first away loss, 5-1, and they've only got themselves to blame. They started amazingly. Steve Hutchins could have scored on 3 minutes. Ryan Pennery could have scored on 6 minutes. Then in the 7th minute, Lewis Fenimore got sent off, retaliating right in front of the referee, aiming a boot at an opponent. Moneyfields down to 10 men. It was always going to be difficult from there. Rowan Vine opened and finished the scoring for Hartley Whitney. He's 35 years old, used to play for Portsmouth and Gosport Borough. In between, Hutchins equalised from the penalty spot. I don't know if it was a penalty in all honesty, but that brought them level at half time. But in the second half, Moneyfields couldn't defend, and Hartley Whitney played superb short passing game and added further goals with Paul Hodges, Josh Webb and Jake Baxter on target. Bad day at the office for the Moneys.
But a great day for Hartley Whitney, and no wonder you've made yourself quite cosy in their club room then, because the atmosphere in the house must be amazing today.
It's a great little club, and people are still here long after the game's finished, and they've made me very welcome all afternoon. The only sort of thing missing really was Moneyfield's performance, but as manager Dave Carter tells me, their discipline is terrible, and he doesn't quite know what to do about it.
Well, let's hear from Dave Carter now then, shall we? The losing Moneyfields boss spoke to Cliff after the defeat.
Reaction to your biggest defeat of the season so far?
Yeah, very disappointed. Give ourselves a mountain to climb when Lewis Fenimore got sent off after 6 minutes. Stupid off the ball tackle, kicking out of a player. Discipline's it's affecting our season big time now. I've had to take Steve off at half time because I felt that he was going to get sent off in the second half. It put us down to 9 after we just got ourselves back into it, and then poor defending gifted them a goal, their second goal, and it was downhill from them really. They took control of the game second half and chasing shadows with 10 men, which, you know what I mean, I've taken Brett Pope off as a precaution again because he'd just come back from injury. I didn't want him to that injury to reoccur, so I took him off as a precaution and just see the game out really. So just still disappointed we conceded 5. We tried to keep 2 banks of 4 and get something out of the game, but it wasn't to be.
Dave Carter, the losing Moneyfields manager, speaking to Cliff Pledge after defeat at Hartley Whitney. Now, Cliff, Moneyfields don't have very long to get this defeat out of their system, do they?
Yeah, they're playing the second place team in the league, Beaconsfield, away on Monday night. So 48 hours, really. That comes around really, really quickly. 3 league games ago, Moneyfields were unbeaten and top. They've now lost 3 league games in a row, and they're 5th. And if they were to lose at Beaconsfield, they might slip out of the playoff positions quite soon. But on paper, they deserve to be up there. They're just having a bad run of form. They've got to sort their discipline out, and I'm sure they'll be fine.
It goes to show how tight things are there in the division. Cliff, what up next for Hartley Whitney? They must be buoyed by such a fantastic victory today.
They're a really good side. Like Moneyfields, they came up from the standard below. And like Moneyfields, they set the league alight. They were the top 2 for the first few months. But now they've both sort of realities kicked in. They both had a little bit of a slump. I'm glad I'm from South Hampshire, Kane, and not North Hampshire, because up here there's a man skating around the clubhouse with nothing on except a pair of Speedos and a cycle helmet. and everyone else is behaving like that's perfectly normal.
Well, everyone's wondering what Adam Blackmore gets up to when Southampton don't have a commentary game on a Saturday. Cliff, we'll speak to you again in a few moments' time. Thank you very much. Let's stay in the Southern League, and we'll go to the Southern League West now and speak to Jordan Clark. He was watching Wimborne Town against Kidlington. How did it go, Jordan?
Jane, it was a brilliant defensive display from Matty Holmes' Wimborne side. It was capped off by another goal for top scorer Toby Holmes. The winner coming in the 88th minute when Holmes was played in behind by his namesake Luke Holmes before rounding the keeper and slotting in from a tight angle to seal a 1-0 win and all 3 points for the home team. That extends the Magpies' unbeaten run in Southern League West to 6 games now, and what was a 4th consecutive home win in the league, also enough to move them all the way from 7th up to 3rd in the table. Matty Holmes has really got them ticking at Cuffbury this season, but as you'll hear now, he's still refusing to talk about the playoffs.
You know, end-to-end at times, especially second half, and you thought, well, they might get the goal, but that combination of little Luke and Toby sort of come up trumps again for us again. It's a typical Wimborne goal. Luke travels through and provides a couple of tackles. Toby's on the shoulder. And they played their high line very well. The offsides, you know, we was offside an awful lot today. And Toby just, you know, held his line and got in for a great finish.
It will, I'm sure, probably be the goal because it came so late that it's talked about, but a solid defensive display as well from your side. And they spent large parts, perhaps, of the second half defending.
Yeah, that was our tactics today. We had to sort of drop off and let them have the ball and let them try and play through us and then try and break. We've got some dangerous players on the counter-attack and that's the way we wanted to set up today. Other weeks it might be different. So they're showing that sort of resolute attitude and character which we missed sort of last season and maybe the start of the season. But you've got Matteo there at left-back, who I thought was our man of the match today, playing with a broken nose. That just sums up the back four at the moment. Nice and solid, conceding sort of little opportunities and you know, working as a unit, which we want
to
see.
I've come here today determined to get you to talk about the playoffs. I haven't seen results from elsewhere, but that's another 3 points, potentially enough to move you into the top five. You've got to start thinking about it soon, haven't you? Surely.
No chance. Another 3 points towards that 58 magic total, and then it's, once you get to 58, then you sort of look, what, you get to 60. And then so on. You know, I think as soon as you take your eye off the ball at this level and think you're better than what you are, then you're in big trouble. You know, I think there's only 3 points separating 7th or 8th to 3rd, where we are now. It can all go the other way. But you know, we lose Billy. He goes on holiday now for 2 games. We lose Matteo. He's got a broken nose. Gets it operated on Tuesday. So you're 2 players down going into top of the table game a week Tuesday, and at home against Didcot, the 2 big players we miss, and we cannot afford to miss any of our players in this squad of 16. So 2 young lads will come in who haven't played much game time, which I'm happy to play, no issue at all, but you're losing 2 big players because we've got a small squad, and that's the way it is at the moment. So the more points we can get now, we can allow ourselves a little hiccup, because it will come. I hope it doesn't, but it will, and you have to expect that, and then you sort of deal with it because you've got the points in the bag.
Can you bring anyone else in? Have you got room to manoeuvre a little bit to perhaps plug a couple of gaps left by those two?
Not really, no. No, that you have a development squad for a reason. I know they're all under 18, so Robbie Bradley, who's coming through and showing real promise, he'll hopefully be on the bench next Saturday and look to try and get him some game time. But, you know, the squad of, you know, at the right, like Steph come on at right back today, fantastic. And Louis come into midfield for Lee, different class, so they deserve to start. It's just your bench, you know. Me and Danny and Shane don't want to sit on the bench for sure, not our age. So
that's now 13 league goals for Toby Holmes this season, and to be honest, he didn't see an awful lot of the ball today, particularly in the second half, but he always looks dangerous in and around the box and when he gets inside that 18 yard area as well. And the good news for Magpies fans, as you heard from Matty Holmes there, is that there hasn't been any interest from other clubs of late. Toby has played at a higher level before, and you've got to think that if the goals keep coming for him, then perhaps interest from sides in the leagues above will follow. But you do hope, for Wimborne's sake, that they can hold on to him, because he will be a big player for them in the second half of the season. And I did try and catch up with Toby Holmes after the game, but he wasn't up for talking today. Instead, sent out the man that set up his goal and also the manager's son, Luke Holmes.
It's a massive result for us. I mean, I think that puts us up to 3rd now in the league. So we're chasing that playoff place. We all want to do it here. But yeah, no, massive win today.
What's clicked into place all of a sudden? I know it's been, for the manager a building mission, if you like? Do you feel like he's finally getting there?
Yeah, I think my daddy's put in a real... We've really gone back to basics, I think, with getting our two banks of four, getting a solid base starting from that. I mean, the defensively recently has just been absolutely brilliant. I think it's just organisation from everyone. Talking, communication, nah. Everyone really, really seems to be putting in a shift at the minute.
A bit of perseverance today as well, obviously, that goal coming later on.
Yeah, no, I mean, these sort of games, you've got to hang on in there. And I, well, luckily at the end, I managed to squeeze one through to Toby and he's rounded the goalie and that little bit of quality has won us the game today.
Just a word on Toby as well. Goals keep coming for him. I know you were involved in a fair few of them as well, obviously, setting them up.
Yeah, we got a great little partnership, me and him. He's, oh, you can't know. His goal record is unbelievable. He's such a pleasure to play with. He's, those runs make it so easy for those little slip balls through. But no, he's the best striker in the league, in my opinion, by a mile.
Your dad won't talk about the playoffs. I've asked him to today. But he's purely focused on beating last season, if you like. Then he said he might think about it. What about you as players? You must be talking about it in the dressing room.
Yeah, all the lads. I mean, we all want to go for the playoffs. Of course we do. But I think from that being realistic from the management point of view, he does want to beat the last finish. I mean, it's not like we're middle to low budget in the league. It's quite tight here, but like I say, all the lads in here, we want to be pushing. We've got so much belief in each other that we think we can do it this year.
So a big win for Wimborne Town. It keeps them third in the division, level on points with AFC Totten, who are in fourth after they picked up an impressive 3-2 win at Bristol Manor Farm. No game for Winchester City, who have just dropped out of the playoff places. Their trip to Slimbridge was called off due to the weather. Didcot next up for Wimborne Town then. Let's now switch our attention to the National League South, where Havant and Waterlooville were looking to keep up the pressure on top of the table. Kings Lynn, they entertained Chip at Wesley Park, and watching for BBC Radio Solent was Joel Holt.
Well, Havant and Waterlooville have moved up one space into fourth in the National South after a commanding 4-0 victory against Chippenham Town at Wesley Park. The Hawks got off to a flying start and they found themselves 2-0 up inside the opening 10 minutes. The first goal came when Rory Williams' free kick on the left-hand side was headed home by Ryan Woodford. Jason Matthews, of course, the former Weymouth man, was in goal. He managed to get a hand to it, but he couldn't stop it from going into the back of the net. And then 4 minutes later, haven't had their second of the afternoon. Wes Fogden producing fantastic skill inside the box, cutting in on his right and then unleashing a drive past Matthews, which he couldn't get anywhere near. Chippenham dominated the rest of the first half. They had chances through Andy Sandell, the former Salisbury man, of course. Dan Bowman went close as well, and he had two chances, one of which came at the end of the half, and he managed to blast over from 6 yards and really should have done better. And they came out the starting blocks quicker as well in the second half. The visitors, Josh Schmal, came close, and then Guthrie had a cross which nearly deflected past Young in the goal, but then Havant got some breathing space and got a third goal in the 63rd minute. It was good counter-attack as well. Matt Tubbs playing in Jason Pryor. His shot was deflected from the unrushing Jason Matthews, and then it fell kindly to Wes Fogden. His effort looped over Matthews to get his second of the game, and then haven't managed to get a fourth with just 8 minutes left. Theo Widrington, 15 minutes after coming on from the substitutes bench, he caught Matthews off guard and sent a curling effort into the back of the net. I'm sure if Kenny Jackett, the Pompey boss, would have seen his Loney do that, he'd been very proud of that finish. So haven't getting their first win at home in the league here since the end of August. They really are starting to march on. Afterwards, I caught up with both the boss, Lee Bradbury, and the player, Theo Widrington, of course, scoring that fourth goal. But first, here is the Hawks boss, Lee Bradbury, with his post-match thoughts.
We've played very well at home, but we just haven't got the results that the performances deserve, really. But today it did. Difference being we were better in both boxes today. Took the chances that we created and kept a good clean sheet. So, yeah, very pleasing performance and got that home voodoo off our back.
Obviously, it takes the pressure off, doesn't it? Especially when you can get two quick fire goals. You're 2-0 up inside 10 minutes.
Yeah, great start. Out the box really quickly. I think we shocked them a little bit on how quickly and intensity we played with, and scored two quick goals and give us that foothold in the game then to build and go forward from there. So, and it made them come out a little bit more as well, give us a bit of space to play in. So, no, very pleasing performance today. I thought the intensity we played at, the honesty the group showed and the quality we showed was great today.
Nice finish as well. See Ryan Woodford with the header, and then that second goal from Wes Fogden. It was absolutely delicious, wasn't it?
Yeah, great. His left foot as well, you know, it's a fantastic strike. Right across the goalkeeper, rising into the far corner, and pleasing goal. He deserves it, you know, and he got a second goal as well. He's a really honest, hard-working player. He's got to be a pleasure to play with for the players, because he's so honest.
Obviously, Theo Widdrington as well coming off the bench. 40 minutes after coming on as a substitute. It was a wonderful goal.
Yeah, just sidestepped his man and hit the target. I was talking to him before the game, actually, about you getting some good shooting positions and hitting him over the bar, trying to score a perfect goal as far as rising into the top corner rather than just hitting the target, making the keeper work. And he did that, and pleased that that flew in, because he deserves a goal. He's been in and out of the team, really. And for him to get that goal will give him a bit of confidence going forward.
I guess it shows real character as well, considering the fact you lost Alfie Rutherford in the week and Dun Strugnell. You couldn't even fill the bench today, but yeah, a real commanding win.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're doing really well at the moment with a small group. You know, I've got Ed Harris on the bench today, who's been ill, not fully fit. Theo Winnington's been carrying a knock, not fully fit. Got a goalkeeper on the bench, and George Barker, the only fully fit one out of them outfield players, is George Barker today. So, you know, we're a bit thin on the ground at the moment, but we'll have a couple coming back next week, and James Ater and Lee Molyneux from loan. So that should fill us out a bit more.
You're up one place into fourth. We're at the midway point in the season. I know you don't want to get carried away, but you must be thinking at this stage, you know, hang on a minute, we could go for the title here.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to be realistic, and we came up last year into the league, but at the same time, I've got a lot of belief in this group of players. You know, we won the league last year, and majority of them gave them 2-year contracts, and that's a big thing for me to do, a lot of trust put into them. So, but they're repaying me with that, and then continuing where we left off last season. And we've got a really good group of lads here, you know, a really close group of lads that will do that extra bit to win the game. And I think that was evident today.
You really have put teams to the sword, haven't you?
Yeah, certainly, especially away from home. You know, at home we did today, and that will give the boys confidence when coming back to home the next time we play here to carry on and go and do that, you know, and have that confidence to kick on.
And after the 4-0 win, I also caught up with Theo Widdrington, who scored that fourth goal. He's on loan from Pompey for the season, and he says he just wants to keep impressing Lee Bradbury.
I'm there to help the team out in whatever way, whether that's being a holding defensive midfielder or someone who can get forward, and I like to think I can do both. So yeah, it's always nice to score. It's always nice to score and a win, but overall it's about the boys today. It's a great 3-0 win.
Because there seems to be a really good ethos around the camp and belief that, you know, you're only a couple of points off the leaders. You can actually go on and win this division.
Oh yeah, I think there's plenty of confidence in the dressing room. I mean, this is the first loan I've been on, so I think we can go and achieve promotion. I think that's the aim. That's definitely the aim in the dressing room. So we just keep putting in performances like we did today, and I think we've got a right chance.
And what about you? You're obviously here for a season on loan from Pompey, I guess. It's a case of just trying to get regular starts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been rewarded with a few starts, had a good few run of games. Today, obviously, I came off the bench, but it's a team game. I know what my job is when I come here, and I'm just trying to put in every performance like it's my last and try and stay in the team, try and prove myself. And it's obviously a big step coming out of youth team football into men's football. And no, I'm really enjoying it, and hoping I can help the team progress and achieve what we should achieve this season.
BBC Radio Solent Sport.
Non-league football.
You're listening to the Non-League Podcast, brought to you by BBC Radio Solent. Thank you very much for listening. Cliff Pledge, our non-league reporter, is still nice and warm in the Hartley Whitney clubhouse, where he watched their victory against Moneyfields today. Cliff, before we go down the leagues and have a look at how our other local sides got on, we have to give Poole Town a big mention in the National League South. They ended that miserable, awful run at the Black and Gold Stadium.
Their first home win of the season. It was April Fool's Day the last time they won at home. They beat Western Supermare 3-1. They're a point away from safety tonight, so boy did they need to win that one. Steve Devlin from the penalty spot, Warren Bentley, and then Jeremiah Giebi on his debut on loan from Yeovil with the third goal. Massive win for the Dolphins, huge relief, and hopefully they can kick on from there.
Any other results this weekend that caught your eye, Cliff? I know a few games were called off, postponed due to the weather.
Yeah, Dorchester probably wished their game was. They lost 4-1 at home to Hitchin. Mo Baghdadi with a consolation goal. Weymouth game was off, but they'll be pleased to learn that the leaders, Kings Lynn, surprisingly lost 5-2 at Farnborough. Nick Ciardini, former Havant man, getting four goals there. Gosport off the bottom in midweek and staying there despite their game being postponed. That was really important for to see their win at Farnborough that took them off the bottom. In the Southern League West, as well as Wimborne's win, there was a win for AFC Totten at Bristol Manor Farm, 3-2. Tony Lee with two, Craig Feeney with a screamer. And that's sensational because at the moment we've got Wimborne, Totten and Winchester all in the playoff positions, which is unbelievable. Andover staying on top of the Wessex League. Their gap is 10 points ahead of Blackfield and Langley. Andover beat Bemerton 3-1. Blackfield beat Hamworthy 2-0. A really big score there as well. Lymington beating Petersfield 8-1 with a hat-trick from Charlie Willett. Team Solent beat Shaftesbury 7-2. And a couple of games in the Hampshire League that got into double figures. List 10, Hedge End Rangers 2. Sway 6, Queens Keep Southampton 4. Locksheath could only get five, but that puts them top of the Hampshire League tonight. And catching my eye really this week, the fact that Totten have announced next Saturday they've got a Christmas party and free entry to their home game. Last week I said Anton Dyers had signed for Weymouth. He's actually signed for Dorchester. We understand that we're expecting a resolution to the proposed Ian McInnes takeover at Gosport Borough in the next couple of weeks. We'll be interested to see which way that one goes. Got to give a shout out to Melissa in the tea hut here at Hartley Winnie, who did me a spicy egg roll for £2 with two eggs covered in spice and a giant tiger bread baguette. That's one of my greatest non-league meals that I think I've ever had. And also, just going to say, sadly, after over 100 years, the Southern Daily Echo putting out the last issue of The Pink tonight, and there's been loads of non-league in that for years and years and years. Wendy G's done a great job in the last few years with all the non-league, and it's just be sad to see an institution go that's been keeping the supporters of Southampton and non-league football in the South informed for a long time. I guess it's just the way of the world, but that won't be coming out again next week.
Cliff, we've got, where will you be next week? Somewhere where they'll be having a Christmas party and spiced egg rolls, I'm guessing.
Well, I'm looking forward to Billericay and having a Waterlooville. Billericay are making lots of noise in non-league football. They've got a lot of money. They've been splashing the cash. That's who having a Waterlooville have drawn in the FA Trophy. Of course, that's weather permitting because we don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But I'm looking forward to a first trip there, what should be a cracking game between Billericay and having a Waterlooville.
Cliff, thank you very much indeed. That's Cliff Pledge, our non-league reporter for BBC Radio Solent. We'll speak to him again on the podcast next week. A reminder that it's Eastleigh at Ebbsfleet, our live non-league commentary next Saturday. That's in the FA Trophy. Thank you very much for listening. If there's a story happening at your club that you think we need to talk about, then get in touch with us, radio.solent@bbc.co.uk. Thank you very much for downloading, and we'll speak to you again next week.
BBC Radio Solent. Sport.
Non-league football.